Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Villar on Thursday, the 23rd of July, recording at 9:16 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were quite strong, China hitting another new high. The Hang Seng Index was up nearly 3%. And the Indian stock market again surged above that 15,000 level for the Sensex. In Europe, we had solid gains, averaging over 2%. And Wall Street had another very good day. Actually, all the Americas are higher, with gains of over 2%. And the Dow is back above 9,000. So, powerful stuff. And we had, long-dated government bonds, against that background, were quite soft. The U.S. dollar had weakened earlier on and then steadied. Modest gains in here today. Precious metals, which had strengthened with the dollar's weaker tone, gave up most of those gains and are mixed here on the day. Platinum's up a little bit. Silver's just up a couple of cents as I speak. Gold is down $2 at $949.50. Crude oil is firm in here today at just below $67. The industrial metals were mostly firmer, although copper, which has been leading the way up, was an exception. And the agricultural commodities were mostly firmer. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it's been really an impressive 10-day blitz here on the upside for the stock markets that had been lagging. And those most stock markets were lagging in reaction phases. China was the one stock market that continued to forge steadily higher, while others were seeing something between a reaction and a correction. Well, what's the difference? I've always described a correction as a bigger and somewhat longer a setback than a reaction, but the S&P, I think, saw a decline of 9% off its highs until that started to rebound around the 13th of this month, and we had seen some bigger corrections among some of the emerging markets, but they've all rebounded here very, very strongly, and I think we've got to what 10 straight days on the upside. So what does that tell us? And my answer to my own question would be, first, it tells us that monetary policy, which remains very accommodative, rules. And as it does most of the time, it also tells me that we've seen another bear squeeze. It also tells me that there are investors on the sidelines who are still finding themselves having to chase rallies because they had been out of the market or had too much cash overall. And it also tells me, if one was ever in any doubt on this, and we haven't been, but plenty of people have, that this is not a bear market rally, this is a bull market. You don't get 10 days on the upside in a bear market rally, and this is 10 consecutive days, and this is not the first time. Just remember that blitz that we saw off the March lows, and of course all the base formations that were evident in the Fuller Money themes that started to form from last October onwards. So that's impressive. And yes, on a short-term basis, we're a little bit overextended once again, but it would take some downward dynamics to check this rally beyond a brief pause. And I haven't seen any of those yet. Downside risk, I would feel, is limited to reversion to the mean. And the mean is rising now for the markets that are leading. The mean, I mentioned for new subscribers that I often think of that in terms of the stock markets as the 200-day moving average, which we post so frequently with weekly charts. So, yes, a little bit overextended once again, or a little bit overbought here once again. Yes, we do have the possibility of some second thoughts or market jitters as we work our way through the anniversary of the really August into November meltdown that we saw last year. But the bottom line here is that stock markets are in upward trends. They vary considerably in terms of leadership. The fuller money themes are doing exceptionally well. If one's concerned about weak fundamentals in the U.S. economy, and I think we need to be, you see plenty of evidence of that in a lot of those regional banks that I talked about and illustrated yesterday, and in some big banks like Citigroup, which is performing well. It's not performing. It's really quite soft overall. So I think that I would be a little bit cautious here in the short to medium term. I wouldn't want to chase these rallies personally, but I'm very happy to hold on to the long positions that I have in my long-term investment account. And I will certainly continue to do so. Now, long-dated government bond yields. Let's see, where could we see trouble for these stock markets? One area would be if we get those long-dated government bond yields rising too much. I posted some charts and had an email question on those today. I feel that the government would like to keep yields approximately where they are, long-dated government bond yields I'm talking about, and may endeavor to do that with the quantitative easing that we have already seen. And I do feel, however, that the next big move in these long-dated government bonds will be on the upside, and the only way that wouldn't happen would be if we went into some sort of Japanese-style deflation in perpetuity, or it almost seems like it's almost in perpetuity. And some people fear that, and I don't. And my one of the reasons I don't is because the quantitative easing was early enough and aggressive enough, I think, to considerably reduce that risk, but we will see. But the point I was going to make that if long-dated government bond yields, if they range between, say, 10-year long-dated government bond yields, what are they, around 3.5 now? Not too far off that probably, but if they were to range between 3 and 4% for the next many months, that would be a favorable overall background environment for long-dated government bonds. If they start to push higher, if we start to get a sustained break in advance above 4%, then that would gradually become a headwind, I feel, for the for stock markets. So that would be one area to watch. Another one would be commodities, because here's crude oil pushing back up again. Now, if that moves up above $75 and in any time soon, then I would feel that that was becoming a headwind for these stock markets once again. I think crude oil will definitely be moving higher over the medium to longer term. I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't do too much on the upside in the short term, because that would not be good for the global economy, at least in terms of energy importers, and most countries are energy importers, including the two leading growth economies here right now, China and India. So, but there are always risks out there that we have to be concerned about. Those are the ones that I'm pondering. I'm not worrying about them all that much, but there are areas where we could potentially see trouble. But that's trying to identify areas that would unsettle some of the complacency and growing confidence, if not complacency, that we see in stock markets. But again, I have to go back to my default position and say that the action that we're seeing, the technical action that we're seeing, is very favorable overall. And I also maintain that we won't have to be seriously concerned about stock markets in terms of a significant downward move until sometime after central banks have clearly signaled that they are in a monetary tightening mode. I expect China to move first on that, but I don't think anybody's going to move anytime too soon, and quite probably not before before the end of the year. Okay, what else mentioned? Currencies. I'm interested to see this little dollar firmness that's come in today. Well, let's try to put some numbers on that. Earlier today, the euro had edged up to 142.91. Now, I don't know if anybody said anything in terms of central banks, but right now we've seen from that 142.91 for the euro, it's currently trading at 141.41. So that's tumbled back. I haven't, again, as I say, I haven't seen any news on that specifically, but we do have the dollar down near the lower side of its ranges, and it wouldn't be surprising to see a wee bit of steadying there, but I haven't seen any dynamics. And in the absence of any dynamics, in other words, evidence of clear strength, clear evidence rather, of dollar strength, my guess is that we will break down out of these ranges. The dollar will weaken, in other words. But interesting here today, at any rate, it's uncoupled a little bit from that knee-jerk response where if stock markets went up, the dollar came down. If stock markets eased a little bit, they were the dollar was firmer. What else to mention? Precious metals. The action, although somewhat softer today, or certainly off the highs today, the action is consistent with gold near the end of another one of those long, approximately 18-month consolidation patterns. The target month for a renewed advance, if it repeats that pattern, would be September. But with gold hovering around the 950 level, that's again, as I say, consistent with this latter stage consolidation. And all the metals basically are firm, and they all show base formations. The industrial metals have been led on the upside by copper, but they're all participating in here. So This is these are very very steady. And Fuller Money some months ago identified stock markets and commodities as major recipients of some of that speculative liquidity that is floating around the system as a consequence of all this easy monetary policy. And I think that's pretty much it here today. So I'll bid you adieu. All the best.